coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to a very special edition of the Hagman Report. You know, there are folks right now, wherever you're at, get on the phone, contact anyone you know, tell them to tune into the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com is our home base. There are really very few people I have the utmost respect for and look up to and believe in their integrity and character, okay? And one of those people is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And especially in the medical line, I'm telling you right now, There are doctors that have sold their souls and everything for the almighty dollar. You know, the with respect to the mutagenic jabs and such. So the one person that has led, in my view anyway, that has led the fight for not just the past 2 years, but like 20 years, is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And I'm so excited to have her with me right now, taking her time out of her busy schedule. I mean, I'll tell you what, she is extremely busy and doesn't know it yet, but her medical center, which is in the just southwest of Cleveland, the city, I got a new doctor now. But anyway, having said all of that, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, her website, drtenpenny.com, without any periods, it's drtenpenny.com. Okay, so that's her website. How are you today?
Great. I'm super, Doug. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a while since we've chatted, and I'm really grateful that you're giving me this opportunity to talk with you again and talk with about some of the things that I'm sadly concerned about that may be coming down the road on the back end of this COVID tyranny.
You know, I caught your appearance on InfoWars this week. I watched it twice, and I'll tell you, you said a couple of things that really are disturbing, because you, Alex Jones, have been ahead of the curve on this. I shared something with you before this show, and I want to kind of ask you about this. One of our sources, and I was just motioning Derek the tech before you came on the screen, about he was talking about there are a couple of medical centers, two that I know of right now in the Pacific Northwest, that are testing for Ebola type or hemorrhagic fever type viruses. Okay. And I got this information once in September of last year, once in December, and now again here in this month. So is that what's coming next? I mean, looking at the big picture, I just want to kind of turn you loose on the big picture, everything we're seeing from that to transhumanism to, you know, the treaties that were the UN treaties that you discussed on InfoWars, wherever you want to go. But I just find everything very disconcerting. Go ahead.
Well, it is disconcerting, Doug. And, you know, as I mentioned on Alex's show, because he talked about these, he asked me about what my thought was about what was coming after COVID. And, you know, we've heard whispers about these hemorrhagic viruses and Ebola. Now, hemorrhagic viruses, there's a whole family of viruses. They're not just Ebola. They're called hemorrhagic viruses, and that they can cause bleeding. They're heavy viruses. They're not readily transmitted through the air unless they are modified in a lab or to make them more transmissible. They're really quite heavy. And, you know, I said to Alex, I said, you know, the thing that really concerns me is the fact that back in February of 2020, just before the Ebola pandemic just absolutely exploded across the planet, there was an ACIP meeting. It was the Advisory Committee of Immunization Practices. They have three meetings a year in Atlanta. This is the group of politicians, I guess. Many of them are physicians, some of them are not, who make the rules and regulations about what vaccines go on the schedule, what the schedule should be, and things like that. And so because this was right before as this whole thing was starting to burble up about COVID, you know, at the time we just called it, you know, the unknown, the SARS and the China virus and what was happening in Wuhan and blah, blah, blah. Your listeners are well versed on that. I don't need to repeat any of that. But I thought, well, wow, I should probably go down to Atlanta and go to that ACIP meeting and see what they're talking about in terms of a COVID vaccine that I'm sure is in development somewhere. So I went to Atlanta, and much to my surprise, the entire day was not talking about the COVID shots, was not talking about the coronavirus thing and how this was related, that they thought this new virus was related to SARS and MERS. But the entire day was talking about Ebola and Ebola vaccines and how they, I remember these two young women, they were researchers, obviously, that worked for the CDC, and got up and gave an entire presentation about this live virus Ebola vaccine that was ready to be approved. That's why they were putting in front of the ACIP committee for approval, but they wanted it approved in only very special circumstances, things such as for people that were working with Ebola viruses in the level 4 and level 5 hot labs, people that were transmitting patients that had suspected or confirmed Marburg virus, hemorrhagic virus bleeding, people that are going to the Congo or places where these Marburg viruses are more endemic, just very specialized sorts of things, because they thought that that was, you know, there was no reason to terrorize the public or to think about giving this on a widespread basis. And right before we broke for lunch, one of the persons on the committee said, well, what if the person working in the level 4 hot lab happens to be pregnant? This is a live virus vaccine, but, you know, looking at the fact that that Marburg hemorrhagic viruses are very serious, possibly deadly, shouldn't that pregnant woman have a right to have access to that vaccine if she wants to? And I remember the two women, the researchers standing on the stage, their eyes got kind of big and they were like, well, I don't know. We've never tested this on pregnant women. And the committee said, well, let's talk about it over lunch and we can make a decision when we come back. So it was about an hour and a half lunch. And when we came back from lunch, they just voted yes for that they could give the shot to pregnant women. No research, no studies, no concerns about what might happen to the fetus. Just that if someone was pregnant and worked in a hot lab or worked in an area where there was exposure to these hemorrhagic viruses, that if they should get this shot. And then very quietly, several months later, in fact, it was the same time that they were releasing the information about giving the COVID shots to five-year-old children, they passed it just uniformly. They passed the Ebola virus vaccine. They just passed it into, it could be used for public use. And I thought that was just the weirdest thing ever, Doug. Like, we're in the at the front end of what turned out to be this whole plandemic, you know, pandemic nonsense that we've been dealing with for the last 2 years, going into 3 years. And I couldn't understand at the time why they were spending all this time on this Ebola vaccine. Well, it becomes a little bit more clear now, doesn't it, that the COVID stuff that they were pulling with, they were trying to pull off of getting the whole world vaccinated with at least two doses of this genetic modification technology, turning people into androids and transhumanoids and all of the different nanobot technology that we have discovered inside of these shots in 4 different countries now have found them in Spain, in the UK, in Germany, and in New Zealand have found these electronic microbot technologies inside of these shots. Primarily the ones that have been looked at have been the Pfizer shot. Well, now that wasn't working. I mean, people like you and me and Alex Jones and Bobby Kennedy and Del Bigtree and, you know, the 12 people labeled as the disinformation dozen. I mean, all of the 5 doctors, you know, our 5 doctor group that we, you know, have been hammering and pounding the streets for 2 years now, warning people to not put this shot into your body. And as more and more evidence is coming out about the sickness and the damage and the deaths and all these things that are happening from these shots, the cardiac problems, the lung problems, the neurological problems, you know, we were tried so hard to warn people about this. And so it's failing. I mean, in fact, I saw an article about maybe 4 or 5 days ago now, that said, on a global basis, the uptake of the COVID shots was the lowest it's ever been. It's almost like as many people that are going to get it have gotten it, and the rest of the people have said, no, thank you. So it's falling apart. The whole thing about the mask are falling apart. I mean, you have 10 CEOs of the top airlines in the country sending letters to saying, we don't need masks on these airplanes. I mean, we've got this great ventilation system. Stop the mask. Stop the social distancing. Stop the mask for children. Get rid of these shots. Nobody wants them. There's no reason to have them. And so their little ploy hasn't been working. And so now we've got two things. First we said, well, that's not working. So I guess we'll just have a war. Let's start a war, because that's what we do, right? When things aren't falling apart, it's like, look over there. Look at what's happening. So all the people who decided to give up on mainstream media about COVID and about the shots and all the stuff related to this pandemic, suddenly now are their eyeballs are glued back to CNN about the war. It's like, didn't you learn to not trust these people about COVID? Why are you trusting them about this? And so, you know, I mean, when the first bullets were fired over there, I said, well, here we go. You know, COVID is failing. It's not working. And so whatever's going to happen over there between Ukraine and Russia, hopefully they'll work it out and, you know, they'll get their disputes settled. And then they've got to have another backup plan. And so my opinion is, and this is purely my opinion, it's not based on anything other than kind of putting the pieces together. They're going to release something else. They've already sent up some warning signs saying we may have to do lockdowns again. We may have to have people shut down and close their businesses again. And I'm hoping that the world population will roll its eyes and say, no, thank you, and just completely ignore these people and go on about their business. But if they could bring the entire world, their entire world, Doug, to their knees over a coronavirus that causes serious flu, and we know that 80,000 people or so die every year in the United States alone from influenza. But suddenly, if we have people sick and from a coronavirus, it's just this global catastrophe. And we stopped having illness and deaths a long time ago, and we started having a case-demic from just testing people all the time. Mm. If we could bring the entire world to a full stop, economically and supply chain and with money and with everything else, over a few pictures on the television of a couple of people in containment suits, having Cuomo scream about ventilators, and have a few other people, you know, constantly talking on CNN and MSNBC about deaths, with no real proof of any of that. And we could bring the entire world to its knees. What's going to happen when they start showing a few stock photos that they've had for a long time about people with a hemorrhagic virus infection, where they've got blood coming from their eyes and their nose and their ears, and they look really deathly sick, and people are going to be so terrified because they're visual and they see this fear factor thing all over again, because they've been addicted to the feeling of fear. And it's like they had to get their next fix. This is the next most horrifying thing. Mm-hmm. They've got the vaccine ready to go already. It doesn't even have to be an EUA. They can just already release it because they've already got it approved. And it's my opinion, and I have nothing to base this on other than just knowing how these nefarious critters work, that what they really want is everybody vaccinated with the COVID shot, right?
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all. It would put nothing past them for them to kind of dangle, say, we've got an Ebola shot for you, so you don't have to have that horrible thing, but you have to have the COVID shot first.
You know, when you said that in that fashion on InfoWars this week, I that got me thinking, and I thought, wow, you know, how radical would that be? Well, not radical, but how nefarious that would be to get everyone into what they obviously what people are saying right now, hard no. You know, what would make you, or what would compel you? There was a poll out. What would compel you to take the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, as they call it, or the vaccine, as they call it? And there was like a large percentage, nothing at all. So this is the way, through fear as well, through fear of a Ebola type virus, hemorrhagic virus. Hey, you want that vax? You're going to have to undergird that with the...
Because they'll say, you know, it's in limited supply, and we can only use it in people that have already had the COVID shot, because we know that they're the ones most likely to survive anyways, which is a big fat lie. And so it's this Ebola vaccine is in limited supply. So we can only give it to certain people, and we're going to prioritize those that have had a COVID shot. Now, again, and I want to make it really clear to your listeners here, because of how the mainstream media and a whole bunch of sometimes secondary media takes things I say out of context and blows it up all over the internet. Nobody's told me that they're going to do this.
Right.
It just, if you just historically take a look back on how they do things and what their main goal is right now, I mean, from way back at the beginning, remember Bill Gates sat around saying, well, we have to order up 14 billion doses of this shot because we need every single man, woman, and child to have two doses. That's the goal.
Right.
And so is everything that they can possibly do to get these people with these shots, at least two in a booster, and I have it on good knowledge that they want to have up to seven different boosters for these shots. And we already know it's the first booster, you know, two shots and the booster. It's the booster. It's the third shot that is causing the lion's share. At this point in time, the lion's share of sickness and death is each time that they boost, that they're going to have an increasing exponential number of people who get sick and literally die within hours, days, or a couple of weeks of getting that third shot.
Wow. Okay. Oh my goodness. Seven. So you get like a Subway Club card, you know, instead of a Vax card. Yeah. Six and your seventh is free or whatever, but okay. it's sad. And you know, I monitor social communications because I want to see what people are thinking and saying. And you are so right too about the fear factor. And I'm amazed at how many people are saying, well, if they asked me to take a shot every month, I would do that. Which goes to your reports at Vaxxer.com. But folks, here's the website you need to remember. It's drtenpenny.com. It's dr, no period, tenpenny, tenpenny.com. It'll be on our program description box. Folks, go there and follow Dr. Tenpenny, because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of things that she's doing right now that I don't know if she wants to get into, but will help all of us in the longer term as well as the short term. But I just want to mention that. So now you said something else, so I want to ask you about the what's happening in Ukraine, because I saw this on your one of your reports on Vaxxer about all of the biolabs everywhere. Do you think that what was going on in Ukraine, and suddenly we find out there are biolabs, and I'm going to call them bioweapons labs based on what my own intelligence I know. Do you think that the discovery of that was an accident? I mean, did they intend for that to be discovered, or was that something that just happened? I mean, I'm very concerned about that, because I can see that being used as kind of a force multiplier in this conflict.
That's a really good question, Doug. And I think that I just think it's one more step in exposing all the fraud, the greed, the nefariousness of global governance. And as they are wanting to push through this UN charter that they want to push through on to get all the members of the General Council to sign, they've already gone through phase one, and they've all agreed that they're going to move forward because we want everybody in lockstep with, in case there's another pandemic, which there will be, wink, wink, is the way that they say it. That they really want to have all the countries in the world that are part, there's 194 countries that are part of the General Council, and they want to have everybody sign this treaty, and this international treaty will supersede all country law and all countries' constitutions, which means we will have one world government put up underneath the United Nations, and in who will be in charge of that will be the World Health Organization. And, you know, I don't know if you've done an interview with Paul Alexander on your show or not.
Not yet.
But Dr. Paul Alexander, he's just such a hero. And, you know, I did a podcast interview with him on the Tenpenny Files, which is the name of my podcast, and it's for our premium members. And when I got to the day that I did the interview with him, the day that I did the interview with him was the day that they were voting on this treaty. And so I was reading to him a couple of lines of what they were talking about, what this treaty was going to be about. And it will be put under the umbrella of the United Nations, but it will be in charge. Who will be in charge of it will be the World Health Organization. And he just shook his head and he said, "You've got to be kidding me." He said, "That organization needs to be completely dismantled." He said, "If it was a house, you need to strip it to the stud beams in the wall and start over again. of rebuilding it, because it's just a good old boys club. Nobody there has is there because of their merit or their ability to do great science. And he said, you know, when I was growing up and I went to university and was working on my PhD, he said, you know, as an epidemiologist, you just think that the pinnacle of your career is going to be working at the World Health Organization. And Dr. Paul Alexander, he said, I worked at the World Health Organization. He said it was, for all intents and purposes, kind of a joke. He said, nobody there, he said, the science, nobody knows anything about science. They're not even there doing that. And to put world governance and world control underneath the World Health Organization, he said, I can't think of anything more disastrous.
Man.
And so this is where we're going. And it's biblical, Doug. You know, it's biblical. You know, we're going towards one world order, one world government, one world religion. You know, all things are pointing towards the end times of that. We're looking at what's happening with the resurgence of the Babylonian mystery schools. We know that the quantum computers and the quantum entanglement that's involved with the artificial intelligence is the modern day Tower of Babel. And that this is where this, you know, we're heading towards all of this in real time. I mean, those that are, you know, biblical students, you don't even have to be a scholar, but a biblical student will understand when you look at the end times prophecies where we're headed. Now, only, you know, Jesus himself said, only God knows when I'm coming back. Only the Father in heaven, not even me, but you will know by the signs when the time draws near. And I'm sure that there have been points in time in history where people have said, whoa, this looks like end times. But this is the first time ever that the entire world, all 194 countries, have all been infiltrated by the quantum entanglement in the World Health Organization. The World Economic Forum and all the different things that they stand for and nefariously represent has been infiltrated at all levels of all things, whether it be government, whether it be multinational corporations, whether it be into the school districts and down into our county levels through like ICLEI, the United Nations representatives in our own backyard doing all of the stuff with sustainability agendas that have just been working their way into the fabric of every part of the world. So here we are, the first time ever since like back in the days in Genesis 6, when it was in Genesis 12, where they developed the Tower of Babel. And, you know, God came down and said, whoa, all of these people in this one place and they're all speaking the same language and what they could create, this is a problem. We need to disperse this. Well, here we are, all in one place, all under artificial intelligence, hooking us up through injections to the global Internet of Things, the global social credit scores, wanting to tie our money into it, be able to monitor our carbon footprint based on our purchases. And if our carbon footprint in a given month is too high, then they'll shut off. You won't be able to buy anything else because you need to be punished because you're not doing sustainability things, and on and on and on. I mean, it's all right here. It sounds like the weirdest science fiction movie you could ever imagine, but it's happening. It's not out in the future somewhere. It's happening right now in real time. And here we are with the quantum entanglement that happens as soon as anyone gets one of these shots. And the question always comes up, wow, now that I know what I know, how do I get this shot of my body? And at this point in time, I'm sorry to say there isn't anything. You can get healthier. You can detox your system. You can make your liver, kidneys, lungs, heart healthier. You can do all kinds of things to improve your immune system. But once you've been injected, you can't uninject. And the little particles, the little nanobot particles that assemble, disassemble, and reassemble inside of your system from these shots, and each additional booster that you get will just make it worse. I guess you were warned. People were warned, and they didn't heed the warning. And so, you know, now to me, it's like getting your life right with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and saying, wow, I made a really bad mistake with my body. I don't want to make that mistake with my soul. Lord, please forgive me that I fell to the demons of fear. I fell and kneeled to the pharmakia. I chose to do something to assuage my fear rather than taking my fear to the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, take this demon of fear out of me. Get it out of my body. I don't want to be fearful. The Bible says more than 300 times, fear not. So if God repeats himself that many times, it's probably important.
Yeah. You better pay attention.
I feared about my job. I feared about not seeing my grandkids. I wanted to do it for convenience because I had to go on that cruise, of course, you know. Well, now you've kind of messed up your body. And whether or not your body's going to be healed, that's between you and God, because not everybody that gets cancer gets healed. You know, not everybody that becomes paralyzed gets healed.
That's right.
But that's between you and God. And so it's more important now to know, because we're all going to die one of these days, Doug. It's more important to know where you're going to go after you die than to worry about what's happening inside your physical body.
Well, you said a whole lot there. And folks, pay attention to that last part, okay? You know, with respect to the mutagenic jabs that she was talking about too. What's done is done. But by the way, if I can ask this question, does the virus known as SARS-CoV-2, and again, forgive my terminology if it's incorrect, does that, which carries the spike protein, if I am correct, as well as the jab, do they have the same effect in the body, or is the jab exponentially worse with respect to the effect of the impact of the spike protein, or whatever is the mechanism of injury? And by the way, before you answer that question, folks, go to, I apologize if you hear that loud hammering there. Stop the hammering there we go. Sorry about that. We have construction going on in the office right next door. 20 mechanisms of injury and 20 more mechanisms of injury at available by way of drtenpenny.com. That's drtenpenny.com. No period out within that name. So my question is, spike protein and in the shot or in the jab versus in the wild, in the virus, same or worse in the latter?
The jabs themselves are exponentially worse because they're designed with the messenger RNA that gets injected with the Pfizer and the Moderna shot and the double-stranded DNA that gets injected with the J&J shot and AstraZeneca has the double-stranded DNA. So it's J&J and AstraZeneca have the double-stranded DNA. The AstraZeneca shot is not used in the U.S., but I know you have an international audience. And many people around the globe have received an AstraZeneca shot that has a high, high incidence of blood clot formation and heart attacks and problems with the blood. The Pfizer shot and the Moderna shot are the ones that we used here in the U.S. the most, primarily Pfizer, and they have the messenger RNA. The messenger RNA has been synthetically modified in a lab so that regular messenger RNA, because our body uses messenger RNA all day long, because our DNA says, hey, we need a repair protein over there, sends out a little message through messenger RNA that then goes to the ribosomes, which is the messenger RNA translation factory, and makes a protein to go heal that cut or that laceration or whatever you need. We use normal messenger RNA in our body all day long. But after it's been used and run through that ribosome factory, it degrades. It's done. It's over. You only get to use it once or twice, and then you have to go make a new one. Well, with the messenger RNA that's injected in these shots, it's been manipulated and modified inside of a lab. And so the end piece, the end nucleotides at the end of it has been modified so it never degrades. It just keeps making more proteins over and over and over again. We now believe, and the science is still out on this, Doug. I mean, we've only been using these shots for not even 18 months yet, but it feels like 18 years. And so the science and the research is still coming out on the what's happening with the disaster things that are happening inside of the body from this messenger RNA that doesn't degrade. We also know that the proteins in the body get incorporated into the organ system. That's the spike proteins. That's what causes the multi-organ system failure. We know the spike proteins can get incorporated into your DNA. And when it gets incorporated into your DNA, it starts to break down that particular cell. And when that cell starts to that abnormal cell starts to replicate, that's what cancer cells are about. Under normal circumstances, our body has backup repair mechanisms, enzyme systems that would go in and either destroy that cell, take out that that abnormally developing cell, that cancer cell, take it out and make it just degrade it and make it go away, or would go in and repair the damage. Well, the spike protein goes into the DNA and blocks the door and doesn't allow the repair mechanism enzymes in to start that repair process. So that's why we're seeing this huge explosion of cancers from these shots. Either people that have been in remission, and now they've taken the lid off of the remission and they are exploding, like within a matter of weeks to months, they've gone from being into remission to stage 4 metastatic cancer that is not responsive to anything. Or we're seeing all these new unusual blood cancers or sex organ cancers like endometrial cancers and testicular cancers just exploding from this because of what the spike protein does. The spike protein sensitizes the B cells and the dendritic cells, which means your immune system is always now susceptible to stimulation from the spike proteins. And worst of all, what these cells do is they destroy your toll-like receptors, spelled TOLL-LIKE, toll-like receptors, 3, 7, and 8. Which are your innate, God-given, God-born immune system. And the German data says that these toll-like receptors have been annihilated, completely wiped out, and they won't come back. And that's why we've been hearing all of these reports about people getting AIDS from these shots. Well, there's HIV strips inside of the protein in the synthetically made one, and in the synthetically made virus. And also because these spike proteins destroy your innate immune system irreversibly, and they shut down your CD8 cells. And, you know, under normal circumstances, if you want to get tested for AIDS, what the doctor orders is a blood test to evaluate the count of the number of CD8 versus CD4 cells. And if your CD8 cells are really, really, really low, those are the ones that protect you from infection, they will say, it looks like you have AIDS. And so this is what they're talking about, how people can get AIDS from these shots, because it destroys their immune system and shuts down the toll-like receptors and the CD8 cells. And it appears as though that's irreparable damage and it will never come back based on German data.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for drilling down on that. I didn't know if you probably didn't expect to drill down that far, but I understood exactly what you just said. So, and folks, I hope you too understand that. If not, go back and listen to that explanation. Because in the end here, if I'm listening to this and seeing this correctly, in the end here, we're looking at depopulation as the ultimate objective here. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it's the first objective. The first objective is depopulation. For those that are left, we are to be transhumanoids. And so we will be hooked up to their electronic gadgets with our money, with our bodies, the internet of bodies, the internet of things, the social credit scores. And so if you survive it, you know, if you survive it, because people might say things like, well, I got the shot and I seem to be just fine. Well, the thing is you've got to look over your shoulder for the next 10 years before you can say you got off scot-free and that perhaps you got one of what appears to be a placebo shot. Because in 3 years, the cardiovascular deaths are going to be clicking in. And I think we have a solution for that coming down the pike. I can come back and talk about that again at some other time. We've got solutions for cardiovascular things and for your immune system. I think we've got some solutions that may help to heal some of the heart problems, but that's going to, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Biddle in Canada and several other cardiologists have said, yeah, about three years out from people getting their shots and their boosters are where we're going to see this massive cardiovascular disease and death. And then it takes about 10 years for all of the potential autoimmune diseases to come forth. And we know from the Pfizer data itself, they said there's more than 1,000 different diseases that these shots can cause. And they knew it before they even unleashed it on humanity.
Wow.
So they knew it even ahead of time. There's more than 1,000 diseases and syndromes and things like that they know this messenger RNA and the other chemicals and the other things that we don't even know that are listed, because they didn't have to list them because these shots are under an EUA. Once they are fully approved, they have to do the full package insert and tell us what's in everything. They haven't done that yet. So not only are we focus on the spike protein, we focus on the messenger RNA, we kind of have forgotten to talk about polyethylene glycol and graphene oxide. And those are the things we know about. We don't even know all the other ingredients that are probably in there causing death, destruction, depopulation, and transhumanism movements.
You know, this makes me weep for humanity.
Absolutely.
You know, I am just... look, folks, and you know about my granddaughter, folks, she, 3.5 years old. She's in ICU and children's hospital. She's recovering. But you know, I walk down the, you look at parent, the faces of parents with children in, critically ill, children. And it makes your, it just tears your heart out. Okay. So imagine this on a wholesale level. Imagine this. Imagine who is running this. And Dr. Tenpenny talked about quantum computing, the hive mind, the brain-computer interface, quantum entanglement. Get familiar with these. Do your research on this. This is going to cause a lot. And, you know, Dr. Tenpenny, one last thing here, and I know we got about 10 minutes. I want you to plug your boot camps, if that's okay, and some other things. But
sure.
But before that, I just want to... you had mentioned in the interview with Alex about child sacrifice in real time, mm-hmm. you know, and my work with Russ Dizdar, who passed away in the fall, I have seen this, and I've seen some of the things I've seen with respect to human and child sex trafficking and child sacrifice, which is kind of a subset of that. Man, I'll tell you what, there are some evil people out there doing these things for evil purposes. I just want to say that, you know, this is all related to what you're talking about as the transhumanism factor is. Anything you want to add to that? Because it's anything you want to add?
Well, I just wish that parents would spend a little bit of time. They don't have to know this material to the level that I know it. You know, I spend the only time I'm not really talking about this, writing about it, interviewing about it, either I'm interviewing people or I'm being interviewed on shows such as yours, is when I'm asleep. And sometimes I'm even doing it in my sleep. And so, you know, I'm dreaming about it. I'm even doing it in my sleep. But just a little bit, know what's coming through that needle. Know that how unnecessary this is. I mean, the FDA is voting, and I think it's 4 or 5 weeks. It's very soon, of whether or not to add these COVID shots to the pediatric vaccination schedule at 2, 4, and 6 months. This is murder, people. It's murder. This is not just a regular shot. In all of the shots are bioweapons and can kill your children. But this is absolute murder.
Man.
And so parents who are gleefully taking their child in, we're doing the right thing. We're doing the right thing for humanity. We're taking this shot so we can be safe and to go see our grandparents. You're murdering your children, murdering them. And when something happens, you have no one to blame but yourself. You can't say, well, I trusted my pediatrician. Bad move. Don't trust your pediatrician. You know, because they don't know anything about this. They truly don't. And
I've seen that firsthand. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. And so it's really a travesty. It's child sacrifice. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, it will be as in the days of Noah, that people will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and will to be doing all the nefarious things that were happening inside of the Babylonian mystery schools, which was child sacrifice, which was living orgies, which was, you know, at these, they would have these spring and fall orgies that they would be worshiping their gods. And the babies then that would be conceived out of these horrifying orgies. These are all from the Sumerian texts. This is a big thing that I'm studying right now. From the Sumerian texts, and these babies that would be born out of that orgy conceiving, then in the next season of worship to Baal and to Moloch, those children would be burned alive. That would be the human wild human sacrifice. Well, we're sacrificing our children in the same way. We're not burning them alive, but we're killing them with unnecessary shots.
And there it is. And you know, the important thing here is educate yourself, folks. Look, everything that Dr. Tenpenny said, it's 100%, okay, from based on my investigative experience. By the way, her website will be in the episode description on HagmanReport.com. Open up the box, click on DrTenpenny.com, no period after DR, that's DrTenpenny.com. From there, you can get to all of her websites. And I've got to tell you, study everything that she writes. Follow, study everything that she does. Seriously, because she's on top of this. She's ahead of everything. Expect to rescue yourself. That's the message here. And with that, I know you have a 4-week online boot camp coming up here. Can you tell us about that? Because we need help. I mean, help. And I know you can offer that.
Well, thank you so much for that, Doug. I appreciate you allowing me to talk about this today because time is running out for enrollment. The course actually starts next Monday, April the 4th. Can you believe it's April already? Yeah. Starts April the 4th. It's like crazy. And this all started from my business partner, Matt, and I have been doing boot camps twice a year since 2017. They were Mastering Vaccine Info boot camps. And we did it because, you know, the pro-vaccine side has courses all the time to keep everybody in lockstep with the pro-vaccine stuff. On our side, on the vaccine choice and vaccine freedom and anti-vax stuff, and yes, we should be anti-vaccine and wear it proudly, not like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. We've been doing educational programs because we said we need to get everybody on the same page about safety and efficacy and what about smallpox? What about polio? Because those always come up. And what about the schedule? And how do you talk about that with people? How do you do it without heat? So we've been doing those type of vaccine boot camps since 2017. We always do one in the spring. We do one in the fall. And yes, they are paid. You buy the courses because that's how we make our money. We earn a living to pay all of our employees and all of our online costs. And so this year, we did, all the vaccines, the childhood vaccine stuff. And then in 20 and 21, we, of course, focused on COVID and all the stuff that went along with that, with the myth of the masks and the nonsense of the PCR testing and all of those. And so at the beginning of this year, Matt and I talked about it and I said, well, why don't we do what normal people do when they want to know what their customers want? Let's ask them. So we did a big poll of all of our past students and through all of our email list and our online social media things. We put up a survey, gave them a lot of choices. And the two things that came up, that the number one thing that people wanted to know and have training about was how do I prepare? I've always thought preppers were like, kind of a weird little subset of society. But now we need to prepare with food prices and food shortages and gasoline going through the roof and, the specters of war and with all these different things. What do we do? I live in a high-rise apartment, in a city. I can't grow my own food. What do I do? Or I live out in the country. I live a long ways away from a store. What do I do about things like toilet paper, and toothpaste? And so the number one thing that people wanted was a prepper course. And Matt has been very involved with this for many, many years. He put together a bunch of online courses before about that inside of Learning for You. And believe it or not, Doug, the second thing that people want to hear about, which we're going to be doing this summer, is Bible prophecy. They really want to study about Bible prophecy. So I'm working on putting something together for that probably late July. So we put together this online course. It's 4 weeks. It's online. The title of it is called Expect to Rescue Yourself, because this isn't a movie. Somebody isn't going to be flying, Rambo isn't going to be coming through your door and grabbing you by the back of the neck and saving you and taking you out. So it's like you have to take care of yourself from your physical body. So it's 4 weeks. The first week is understanding why we prep, your basic needs for security and supplies. And it's really super important to have these prepping things. I did an interview with a doctor out of British Columbia on my podcast, The Tenpenny Files. This was probably around Christmas time. And he was telling me that last year, when they had those horrible fires out west in his town, from the time they got the first little smoke and whispers and they saw the first embers until the fire came and did a firestorm and burned the entire city down, it was 22 minutes from beginning to end. From the time it hit the end of the beginning of the town until everything was embers and ashes was 22 minutes. And so prepping is more than just thinking about end times, biblical, you know, Armageddon. It's like for things like that, if you had your bug out bags ready to go and you knew where they were, you could just grab them and run. And so prepping is more than just horrible things. So first week is why we prep, why we do things like this. The second week is the psychology of survival. Building your bug out bag, your vehicle bag, how to, and as you start to store food, and we can teach you how to do this on only $5 a week. We can put this in place for you. And as you store food, how to rotate your pantry so things don't, you aren't wasting things and things aren't going away. Week number three is survival basics. What you need to have in terms of documents, navigation tools, communication devices, and who do you trust? Because it may not be your family members. It may not, they just because you're in, just because you're blood relative, they may be, you know, woke far left compared to where you are, conservative Christian. So your family members may not be the people who you trust, and how do you identify them? And then in our final week, in week four, we have advanced topics to what goes in your medical bug out bag. What do you do with your pets? What do you do with your children of all ages? What do you do if you've got elderly parents or aunts and uncles living with you and you want to have them? What do you do with that? What do you do if the cop comes or the sheriff comes knocking at your door? What do you do about money and gold and silver? And what about crypto? Should you even be, you know, how can you take crypto with you? And so all of those things. So each week on Monday you get exercises of things to do. So this would be a really fun course to do together with other people, because there's going to be ways that Matt's going to walk you through how to evaluate what you currently have in your pantry, how to rotate those things out, what you should have instead that have durability. And so doing it with somebody would be a lot of fun. So you have exercises to do during the first part of the week. And then every Thursday night for 4 weeks, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, from 8:30 to about 10, everybody that's joined the course will have an online discussion group. Matt's got some really fun things planned on how to build your own, a bug out bag just inside of a mason jar, of how much that you can get inside there. We'll have some little fun things and little competitions that we're doing inside of that. And so every Thursday night, 8:30 to 10 is the most important part of the course, actually. Now, if you can't be available during that time because of time zones, or you work, or you've got other maybe church commitments or something on a Thursday night, it's all recorded. You can watch it in the follow-up, and you'll have full access to all this material for an entire year, because you'll want to watch it over and over again. So if you go to Learning For You, it's learning, the number four, Y-O-U, learningforyou.org/survive. You know, I just gave you like the cliff notes, kind of the high level of what this course is going to be about. And if you go to learningforyou.org/survive, you can read in a little bit more detail about the things that are going to be in the course, how you log in. This is the last chance you're going to have to register for this is in just the next couple of days, because the course starts on Monday, April 4th. So this is like pre-registration. It's like if you were taking a community college, you know, you get to pre-register and then the whole class actually starts on a given day. But we're coming up to the end of this now. And I think this is something you'll really, really not only want to know, but that the way that it's all put together, and I did an interview with Catherine Austin Fitz a few weeks ago, and she said, this is amazing. She said, you could spend thousands of dollars of trial and error and not even get it right. And now you're going to have a manual. You're going to have a way to kind of go through these things. And she goes, I think I'm going to sign up for this course. I said, well, great. Because I think that, you know, everybody, even if you've been a prepper in the past, this can kind of fill in some gaps and some pieces for you. And it'll be something, and you're finding a new tribe. Everybody that's going to be taking this will be on the same wavelength, and we will have a back office where you can communicate with them, maybe find some people that are close in your area that you could get together and just plan a lot of things more rigorously for the days ahead.
I love it. You know, I'm going to be a part of that, or I'm going to sign up for that. And that's learningforyou.org
forward slash survive.
Right. Folks, please, take heed, because again, no one is coming to your rescue. Expect to rescue yourself, and you're doing more to help people than most. And I really appreciate that. We're at the end of the segment. I want to thank you so much for your time. I know you're so busy, but please come back anytime. And it's always a pleasure to talk. And I appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Doug. And thank you. And I appreciate your audience, because I know your audience that follows you, that listens to you on a daily basis, they're informed, they're educated, they're on the right path. And if there's any additional pieces that I can help to just fill in the gap, I think that would be marvelous.
Super. All right. I appreciate you, and love you and everything you're doing. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Folks, that was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Again, go to, you ready for this? DR for Dr. Tenpenny, no period, .com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. All right. Wow. I'll tell you what. Hey, is it hemorrhagic fever? Could it be? I'm asking this question. Again, or last week, or this week, last December, and then the September of 21, Ben, I was told that there's certain medical facilities / hospitals testing for hemorrhagic fever or Ebola up in the Pacific Northwest. It seems to be a possibility. The question is, or what are they, you know, what is the deep state planning on doing in the larger sense? With me right this moment is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. Coming out of the gate, don't turn the channel, okay? Let me tell you something, all right? Ever since I've been taking Health Masters, the nutritional supplements there, I have felt so much better. You know, I used to have high blood sugar from my years upon years of abusing my body as a surveillance, in the surveillance venue, and eating, fast food and drinking pots of coffee and whatever. But since I've been taking Health Masters, it's regulated my blood sugar, and I am, I'm good. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. That is healthmasters.com. And if I really like twist his arm, maybe Doug5, D-O-U-G, the number 5, for a coupon code, we'll have to see how that goes. But healthmasters.com, while you're there at healthmasters.com, also listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's a fantastic show, Monday through Friday, as well as Sunday. The times are on there. The link is on there. Drill down for their archives. Look at their products, product of the week, and, of course, their vast array of things, including but not limited to food buckets as well. So with that, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Austin, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Absolutely, my friend. I will completely put the Doug5 coupon code active right now. I apologize to everybody for such the casual attire today. It's been a really, really crazy week down here. A lot of stuff going on in Florida. And my son and everybody basically caught a stomach bug yesterday. So everybody's been, on the puke wagon last couple hours. And I've so far been able to fight it off. I've been chugging bentonite clay, which is the detoxificant formula we have, which is the bentonite in liquid suspension. It does help. I haven't had any issues so far, knock on wood. I generally can feel it coming on, which if it hits me, it hits me. I got stuff to do. I don't have time to sit around and puke all day. So I'll just take some more attention factor and purple sticks once I get it out of me. And
there you go.
Keep moving throughout the day. But you're right, Doug. I've been getting reports all over the country right now of weird stuff happening as far as people getting sick, certain things people getting sick from. And I've told everybody the last couple months, I don't think the COVID narrative, so to speak, is anywhere near over with. And I don't necessarily mean COVID itself. I think vast majority of people had already contracted that virus a long time ago during 2020, some in 2021. And I think they've continued to push the narrative in getting people on remdesivir in the hospitals, which has created much more deaths and organ failure. And on top of that, now we're seeing the massive trove of people that are having very, very aggressive, severe side effects, even later on, way past after getting the shot. I've had numerous friends, including one now that works at a dealership not too far from me, and I've known him for years, and he basically ended up getting the shot because he wanted to go on a cruise, and he has been having nothing but constant side effects now, constant high blood pressure problems. And it was interesting, before he got the shot, he really never got sick. I mean, the man was a machine. And now it's like he's been constantly having issues. He's starting to kind of bounce back some. But the problem that we've seen, and I've talked to you guys about this for 2 years now, when you start running RNA gene therapy into the human body and you have no idea what it's going to do, and simply you listen to some pharmaceutical drug rep or some pharmaceutical CEO like Pfizer that basically is telling you it's completely safe, it's completely effective. And then we find out now, as we've said repeatedly, the Pfizer documents that got released through the Freedom of Information Act during their clinical trials, over 1,200 people died during those clinical trials, and yet nobody wants to talk about it at all. They simply want to discuss stupid things like, I wonder if Will Smith really slapped Chris Rock, or I wonder if Joe Biden wants to eat new ice cream flavors, or is he going to get his fourth shot on stage while he bumbles around. I saw the most embarrassing thing from a president walking on the White House stage, complete and total stage theater. He's walking across to go get his fourth shot of saline, and he goes, oh, I don't really even know why we're doing this on stage. Oh, and kind of wanders over there. The man's blatantly senile. There's a high probability that they're trying to use him as long as they can until he's so completely and totally inept and can't function to bring in Kamala Harris so she can laugh like a hyena every time she gets a question asked to her that basically is simply anything other than what color is the sky. I don't know, but we'll find out over the next couple months what's happening. But one thing I do know that we can't control our attitude. We can't control what we personally do, and we can continue to stay strong and fight and stay positive. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday about a lot of the stuff that's going on, and he was like, man, you know, this is just, it's so horrible to be watching this going on. I said, yeah, it's horrible. I said, a lot of stuff's going on that's bad. And I said, it does suck. And I said, but one thing that we can do is we can continue to remain positive and focus on what we can and can't change and continue to do the best we can to encourage others. I said, it definitely, certain outcomes will make you have a rough attitude right now. I can definitely attest to that. I said, but at the end of the day, the best thing we can do is the best we can do, and to stay positive, especially for the people around us, and show them that we are going to continue to stay strong and that we will speak the truth, we will stand up, and we will continue to fight for freedom and maintain our convictions. And that's what we've been continuing doing the best we can. Down here in Florida, Doug, and I know you guys up there are in a lot of other states. We got patriots all across that are constantly emailing me and sending me emails about what's going on and keep me updated. And the more people that continue to see what's going on, I think that's why they're pushing so hard right now with constantly changing the narratives and constantly trying to keep people distracted, even though we have very, very serious topics to discuss that people really need to address and stand up for and become vocal on. They want to keep everybody distracted with what's going on in the mainstream media and or Hollywood at the same time, Doug.
You know, Austin, this has been a full court press against the patriots, against the conservatives, by the deep state, by the Democrats and rhinos and Republicans. You know what? They're all dirty. They're all compromised. Folks, I've written about the Hunter Biden laptop in Wisconsin Christian News. By the way, if you can, folks, please, 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 please. They're hurting. Their costs have gone up, print costs and such. WisconsinChristianNews.com, help them out. I just want to mention that. But I've written about the Hunter Biden laptop and how the Biden family, the entirety of the Biden family, is compromised, including the brother, the Hunter's nephew and Joe's brother. And so... there's that. There's Austin. There's Disney World down there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The grooming effect. There's the censorship. Now, Steve Scalise came out and said, you know, Trump can't tweet, but the Kremlin can. The Babylon Bee can tweet, but the Chinese Communist Party can. What in the hell is wrong with people where we are sitting back? And I mean this, and I'm going to turn this back over to you. Here's my problem. We're sitting back, we're acting like we got these muscles and we're brave and we're, you know, hey, we'll fight. But you know what? We can't get past building memes and posting tweets or posting on social media. Where is the fight that's in the patriots? And I'm not asking for a war. I'm not asking for a revolution. I'm asking for people to get out there to the school boards and the council meetings and volunteer at the polling places and such. We need to do that. Why aren't we doing that? But I digress. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. I didn't mean to kind of stray off in different directions, but so much going on. Go ahead, sir.
No, there is a lot going on, Doug. And, you know, the fact that we've been having this debate down here in Florida right now with this bill, as far as this anti-grooming bill, and it's gotten so much publicity, and they've been trying to push it as this hate bill and this don't say gay bill, which I'm not even really sure what that's supposed to mean, because there's nothing in it that discusses no discussions of First Amendment suppression. It simply discusses that children 8 and younger, 3rd grade and younger, cannot be sexually groomed with different types of sexual ideologies of any type at an early age. And quite frankly, we don't even need a law for that. There shouldn't even be a discussion on why that shouldn't be okay. That's never been okay. You know, it's funny that the MPAA rates movies, you know, rated R, rated PG-13, rated PG. And there's certain content that is not appropriate for certain audiences. That's what it says right there in it. Certain things may be not appropriate for certain audiences. And yet, films, when they get into the PG realm or PG-13 realm, parental guidance is suggested under the age of 13. Basically, there's really a lot of stuff in this film that anything under the age of 13 really shouldn't watch. You know, parental guidance is suggested. And, you know, you think about some of the stuff that they've been showing in the schools with some of the books and some of the transgender perversion, especially in the 1st and 2nd grade. And you think about it, and vast majority of movies, they wouldn't really allow this stuff to be shown over the last couple of years, but yet somehow now it's supposed to be normalized that they want to put it in the school systems all across the country. And this has been going on for years now. And what's interesting about it is Disney, as everybody that I've talked to and listened to my show and your show knows, my absolute disdain for the company of Disney. They have completely and totally humiliated me over my firearm carriage. They have ejected me from the property. They have threatened to trespass warn me. The sheriff's department has been dispatched on me numerous times. And it's not because I go to Disney to start problems. Quite contrary, I've always taken my children. When I was younger, I would take them to Disney occasionally because I thought, you know what, they really like this. The place is really cool. And the further I got exposed to Disney, the more I got exposed to their darkness under the surface, the more they completely and totally treated me like I was some type of sicko neo-Nazi pervert trying to come into the park when I'm simply a law-abiding citizen trying to give them money. And they basically told me under no certain terms do they want me coming to the property the way I am. And I realized really quick that it was not a company that I wanted to support. And so I pretty much blacklisted them a long time ago. And I've told people for years, I said, all the way back from Fantasia and the stuff that they've put in their films, over, especially over the last decade or so, I said, Disney is not what you think it is. It's not what everybody wants it to be. They want it to be this fantasy world that the kids can go and have fun. But in reality, it's being turned into very, very quickly this perversion identity, perversion fantasy realm that they want people to basically believe this fantasy realm is reality when it's not. And the CEO, Bob Chapek, has now said, we know the moment requires urgency, referring to this bill that DeSantis signed. He said, so we're taking actions right now. One of those actions involved releasing a statement of apology and contrition for past actions, as well as a special task force to develop action plans to make LGBT aware content for children and family. This is the CEO of Disney. It is clear, and I quote, this is what he's saying, it is clear that this is not just an issue about a bill in Florida, but instead another challenge to basic human rights, and I am sorry. Disney has said it's now established an LGBTQRSTUZWXYZ, whatever letters they're going to add. I'm sure P is going to be put on there pretty soon for pedophile. And they're saying they are adding a task force led by Paul Roeder. The company said the task force will seek out experts to develop concrete plans to ensure Disney is a force for good for the LGBTQ communities, especially children and family. Meanwhile, Disney continues to do business with China very directly, billions of dollars, despite the communist country's maraud of human rights abuse from genocide all the way to ethnic cleansing in Tibet. And what's interesting about this now, the company has come out now and they said essentially the executive producer, Leota Rovino, this has been released now in a video that was released on a summit of employees openly discussing what their agenda is. And she said the company has encouraged her not at all secret gay agenda. Meanwhile, Meredith Roberts and our leadership over here have been so welcoming to my not at all secret gay agenda, was her quote. She went on to say that Disney encouraged her to add queerness wherever she could, wherever it would have two characters kiss or simply a queer homosexual character. They encouraged it. She said, no one was stopping me. No one was trying to stop me. In fact, they actually encouraged it. Disney corporate president Carrie Burke came out and discussed the company's desire to include more queer leads in its creative content. And that's also part of this new Buzz Lightyear film that they're coming out with, that they have now added the homosexual makeout scene with Buzz Lightyear and basically another character. And they've continued to play this role, as they're saying now, the LGBTQ representation in children's shows have been on the uptick this past decade, beginning in 2014, like shows with Good Luck Charlie, which featured a lesbian mom couple, later followed by a Disney show called Andy Mack, featuring the first teenage gay couple on the network. Disney later broke new ground with the release of Onward, the studio's first animated movie to feature an openly LGBTQ character. Now, the thing about this is, and I'm not attacking somebody if they have some type of personal orientation in their life. I've told you guys before, what somebody does in the privacy of their own home, that's their business. This is not that. This is direct and aggressive grooming of young children in order to shape their minds and put them in a different direction. One thing I've continued to tell people is that most parents understand the need for their children to remain their innocence as long as they can. At this current time in society, it's pretty difficult to do, and a child's innocence is, you know, pretty much gone pretty quick for the most part. But their parents can do everything they can to protect it. And good people and moral people and ethic people know that exposing little kids to sex at a very young age, especially sexual orientation, is the direction you're taking them, because you're trying to groom them instead of naturally allowing them to grow as a child. They go on to say here, one of the articles I read, it said, instead of allowing their sexuality to develop naturally, sick and twisted adults are stepping in to manipulate it to normalize their own kinks, fetishes, and perversions for their own sick purpose. Look at it now. It cannot be more clear. And that was from an article from Breitbart. And what's interesting about this is this guy couldn't have nailed it any clearer. That's what this whole thing boils down to. It's not about allowing children to grow naturally. We've seen now this transgender trend isn't because it's been going on for 40, 50, 60 years. It's simply because we now have openly militant homosexual individuals that most of them are into pedophilia, have now found that they want to normalize the young children into accepting their lifestyle and encouraging their lifestyle. So now they will turn into that when they get older, and you'll have more of these young children and young adults stepping into this lifestyle when these older individuals can now bring them in and say, hey, you know, we accept you for what you are. This concept of children being completely distorted and they want to live in some fantasy realm at a young age is not natural. You know, I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and they were dealing with a child that they had adopted, and they have a counselor that comes over, and the kid's like 11 years old. He's a boy. And the counselor pulled the parents aside, and they said, listen, you've got to be more open and acceptance if he starts going down this realm. If this is what he chooses, because this is his reality, and he decides he wants to be a girl, they're talking about us because they're having an issue with it because of the stuff that's happened in the school system with this kid that they adopted. And the counselor goes, you've got to be accepted of his reality. You know, it's his reality and you have to encourage it. And my friend's parent goes, no. You're failing to miss the point. This isn't his reality. This is his fantasy that he's being groomed and sculpted and taught because of the perversion in the school systems. This is not a normal behavior. This is his fantasy that he's been going into. We're not going to change our entire family values, ethics, morals, and direction that we have been taught and grown as a family and that we stand by as our convictions to moderate and to accept an alternate reality for this child because he wants to go down this realm. If he decides he wants to do that when he's 18, that's his choice, but we're not going to encourage it, nor are we going to basically embrace it. And I told him the analogy. I said, here's the analogy. I said, if we're talking about this, we have to accept children's fantasy realm. I said, what happens if I have my son get on the roof in his Iron Man costume and he's 5 years old and he thinks he's Iron Man and he thinks he can fly? And he's standing on the roof of my house 20 feet up. And he goes, Dad, I've decided I am now Iron Man. I'm jumping on the roof, off the roof, because I can fly. Is my response supposed to be, well, son, if that's your reality and you really think you're Iron Man, you should just jump off that 20-foot tall roof because you know what? I embrace your reality. No, the child is 5 years old in a fantasy realm. I'm going to be on that roof as fast as I can sculpt up it, even without a ladder, and I'm going to grab him, protect him, and get him down safely and say, listen, son, the laws of gravity still apply to you even if you're in a fantasy realm right now. the laws of nature still apply to everyone. Just because somebody wants to be distorted and twisted and manipulated, and they think, hey, I am a girl now because I've told I can be a girl in the school system, doesn't change the laws of nature. There's XY chromosomes for a reason. There's specific laws that are governed. And what's happened is now is if they can get in and they can take basic laws of nature and distort them and say, those are simply theories, they don't exist, those aren't truth, those aren't real, they can change everything about reality because then there is no basis to reality. I saw now that the bumbling Biden administration came out today as Transgender Day. I guess they decided they have a day now that the White House is acknowledging and introducing new universal gender markings, including a new X gender marker on U.S. passport applications beginning on April 11th. To the end, the White House is also working to expand the availability of the X gender marker on airlines and federal law federal travel programs. So now instead of just having M for male, F for female, you'll now have an X designated if you decide you deem yourself a transgender. And he went on to say the discrimination, harassment, and barriers to opportunity have plagued this community, and we will not allow it anymore. Hold up. First off, we're going to have a lesson in the real world real quick. I'm going to give everybody about a three-minute lesson in what we call reality in the real business world. Harassment, discrimination, and barriers to opportunity. That is a complete and totally false statement. First off, let me put something very clear here. Actions have consequences. Company employees have certain things that they require of their employees, and there are certain reflections from their employees back on the company. For example, face tattoos and facial piercings. If I come into a job application and I've got 50 piercings in my face and my whole face is covered in gang-style tattoos and I tell them, I want a job in your marketing department. I want to be a face of your marketing department here at this corporation. And they look at me and they go, you're covered in facial tattoos, sir, and you're covered in facial piercings. You're not something that can represent our company because not only do we not represent that market, all nobody is going to take us seriously when our head of marketing is covered in facial tattoos with 50 piercings. It is not acceptable in the business world. That's just a fact. I've been in business for 20 years now. I know how the realms continue to go. I started a small world even when I was a young teenager doing different business with vehicle deals and dirt bike sales, doing stuff on the side, trying to make sales and make a couple bucks all the way to where I am now. I've constantly been involved with face-to-face, basically, interactions with people. The next step is this. If somebody wants to come in and they basically say, I have tattoos under my shirt and I want to be the marketing company, I can basically do this. They go, well, do you have any visible tattoos? No, I don't have visible tattoos. I'm covered from basically my neck all the way down, full sleeves, but I wear a long sleeve shirt every single time I'm here. You'll never know I have a tattoo. Now, I'm not picking on tattoos. I'm simply using this as an analogy. Most companies are going to go, we can't see it. We don't know what's under your shirt. We don't care. You have a great resume. You're hired. Now, here's the thing that I have with the entire transgender community. They want to present themselves and flamboyant themselves out there like this latest and greatest technology that they want to run around, not all the time, but sometimes I've seen it, majority of the time I've seen it, with their lime green hair, with their 50 facial piercings, with their gauges in their ears, with their extremely extroverted flamboyant attire, with things like, I'm proud to be tranny on my shirt. And then they come into a job application and they go, the employer goes, you're qualified, but I can't hire you because you don't represent our company and our values. There's certain things in the business realm that are not acceptable. If you're not okay with that, then you need to change your behavior or change your attire or change the way you carry yourself. Individuals now that are extremely confused that say, I want to be a girl. I'm now going to dress like a girl, even though I'm a grown man with an Adam's apple. And I'm going to walk in with a mini skirt dress and a tube top on with makeup on. But my name is Michael or Michelle and I want a job. A lot of employers are going to say, sorry, man, that's just not really the face we want for our marketing company. Jim Rohn, profound professional speaker, huge mentor to me. I met him when I was younger, super cool guy, listened to his shows, listened to his show still now. He came out a long time ago and he made a comment. He said, one thing that you will find when you're in public speaking or you're in public business, he said, is that good language doesn't offend anyone. And I had to learn that, because in the younger I grew up in the South, and I still have to work on it, is using profanity. I'll just tell you that right now. I have a problem using that sometimes. I work on it a lot. I've gotten a lot better at it. One thing he said, though, he goes, if you're on stage and you use the F word, every other sentence, all you do is F this, GD this, he goes, you're going to lose a part of your market share. He goes, now, I don't care if you use that kind of language. It doesn't matter what kind of language you use to me. I don't really care. But you're going to lose a segment of your market share when you talk like that on a regular basis to a huge audience. So if you want to keep the largest market share possible, don't have facial tattoos, don't have giant facial piercings, and you probably don't want to use such an excessive amount of profanity. This applies to the transgender community. If somebody wants to be a girl or a boy, they want to be a cross-dresser in the privacy of their home, and they want to be perverted, that's perfectly their right. I don't care what they do. But if you want to come out in society and you want to walk around as a grown man in a mini dress with tattoos, green hair, facial piercings, and say, I want you to call me Michelle because I'm a girl, and you look at my son and say, I'm a little girl, son, I'm probably going to hit you in the face as hard as I can hit you if you even speak to my child and you look like that. That's simply the response you're going to get out of me. If you don't want to get treated like that in a civilized society, don't act like a complete and total perverted weirdo. If you want to do that in private, do that. Now, I'm going to step on a lot of toes today, and a lot of people are going to get really mad with what I just said. I understand there's certain kids that have issues with identity crisis. I understand that. I understand there's a lot of kids that have been exposed to BPA, bisphenol A, and estrogens while they're in utero, and they're having issues coping, or individuals that are having problems finding out their gender identity. But I can tell you one thing right now. Having this perversion shoved down everybody's throat in the school systems, on Disney, on television, on movies, and completely confusing these young children that are 3, 5, 4, 6, 7 years old is not helping the problem. It's exacerbating the problem much worse than it ever was in recorded history, because now we're saying that somebody that has gender dysphoria, which used to be classified as a mental disorder, now we have to classify them as they live in reality, they operate in reality, and now we have to change our reality in order to adapt to their fantasy does not go along with a credible society. Right now in China, in basically third and fourth grade, they're teaching these kids calculus in China, in elementary school. We're teaching our children which bathroom they want to use is okay, which pronouns they want to choose is okay, and which gender they want to choose right now, while generally, majority of the vast public school systems are failing. A huge portion of the children that graduate from high school are functionally illiterate. They can't even function. They simply can go basically out in society, basic reading, basic verbiage, that's it. Any type of true application in the workforce, they can't even do it. The public school systems are failing for a very specific reason, because the communists have indoctrinated them now, and they've gotten so far entrenched, they are obsessed with forcing these children to learn their perversion so it completely and totally encompasses their thought. If you have a child that can't figure out if he goes to the boys' bathroom or the men's bathroom and he's got a penis, but he can't figure it out and he's that confused, how in the world do you think he's going to function as society when it comes to the workforce and the job force, or starting his own business and bringing in clientele and having customers come and marketing and networking and building rapport and entrepreneurship? He's going to have a hard time doing it. Can he do it in a certain realm? Very well, possibly. But are you making sure that he has a more difficult time because you're encouraging a fantasy realm instead of a reality-based curriculum in the school? 100%. I majored in psychology. I took clinical psychology. I did trials. I did multiple clinical trials with different type of psychological testing. This is not okay to do this to young children. And when you do it and you call it science and you say anybody that denies it is a science denying, basically anti, you know, what they call them, anti-tranny, or basically whatever they're trying to say now, homophobe or tranophobe or whatever they're trying to say now, if you don't agree along with it, this is the entire thing that people have to understand. We can't go along with this aspect of perversion and call it okay. Everybody has the right to free speech, and we have the right to free will. Those are facts, and I will agree with it. And you say that to somebody, you say, you have a right to say you're transgender if you want. You have a right to be in a dress if you want. That's your right as free will in a free society and First Amendment. I also have a right to say I don't agree with that, nor am I going to endorse it, nor am I going to go along with it. I also have that right. This concept of rules for thee and not for me is getting so far out of hand, and so many people are going along with it and self-censoring themselves and saying, hey, listen, it's okay if they spew this rhetoric. It's okay if they act like this in society. It's okay if they tell me I have to accept it. I'm not going to say anything wrong about it at all because I don't want to get the backlash. I don't want to get people upset at me. Even though I know it's wrong and I don't agree with it, I'm going to shut my mouth because I need to be inclusive. Guys, that's not part of the First Amendment. The First Amendment gets to offend everybody. I don't care about somebody's feelings if they do not go along with reality. If they want to live in a fantasy world and I bust your bubble and you're offended, I'm sorry. I'm an equal opportunity offender on a lot of stuff. If you offend me with your perverted behavior, guess what? That's your right to do it if you want to walk around in a dress. I'm offended by a grown man being in a dress trying to tell me that I have to accept it. And it goes back and forth. So until we can have an open dialogue about people expressing themselves and their First Amendment rights equally on both sides, this is going to be a very, very short run exercise of futility for this group, because I, for one, am not going to go along with perversion and say it's okay while they tell me I have to shut my mouth and I can't say anything about it. The very fact a bill had to get passed to tell parents and tell communist teachers that they can't groom and sexually groom these young children, the fact they even have this bill, this shouldn't even be a discussion right now. And the very fact that Disney and these groups are coming about it and coming against it so hard shows you it is not about the protection of the children, nor about the free speech of the children. It is all about grooming these children so that they can get them ready to get into that lifestyle later on down the road. That is at least my opinion and numerous other clinical psychologists' opinions that are actually awake in this realm right now, Doug.
Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, truth bombs galore. By the way, Disney World in Florida has his picture up, most wanted poster on the Disney grounds. I'm telling you, it's very true. And you know, okay, I'm a big fan of Perry Mason, the Perry Mason series back in the late 50s, early 60s. Here's the sauce to what Austin Brower says. Austin, humor me for 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Watch this. This from Disney. Watch this.
Space.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years, and they've been really open to exploring queer stories. And I'm on the production side. Work that I feel like I can put in is, making sure that we take place in modern day New York. So making sure that that's like an accurate reflection of New York. So I put together like a tracker of our background characters to make sure that we have like the full breadth of expression. And we got into a very similar conversation, Carrie, of like, oh, all of our like gender non-conforming characters are in the background. And so it's not just a numbers game of how many LGBTQ plus characters you have. We got the further, the more centered a story is on a character, the more nuanced you get to get into their story. And especially with like trans characters, you can't see if someone is trans. There's not one way to look trans. And so kind of the only way to have these like canonical trans characters, canonical asexual characters, canonical bisexual characters is to give them stories where they can like be their whole selves.
Okay, Austin, hang on. Okay. See, I want to look at that thing and say, what in the hell is wrong with you? Okay, look at this image here, or this graphic. What you were talking about, okay? What has Disney, what has this trans or this perverted agenda done? Look at this graph. Survey. Okay. Folks, again, you think that this is all fun and games, it's no big deal. Over 20% of people born between 97 and 03 somehow in some way are mentally ill by, identifying with the trans movement or being trans. It's just bizarre. And I'm ashamed of 2.6 of the baby boomers, of which I'm a part. Okay, there we have it. By the way, healthmasters.com, folks, healthmasters.com. Please go there. Nutritional supplements are the best on the market. You need to do that. Yeah, so we brought the sauce. Perry Mason brought the sauce there. The exhibits, and there it is, right from the pervert's mouth. You know what, brother? You've been right on the money the entire time. We have to. This is no longer a conspiracy theory. This is fact. Go ahead, sir.
No, that's a doggone fact, Doug. We've been talking about this for a decade. You and I both have gone into detail on it ever since we started talking, and Ted started talking with you about this. And when it started with the target, with the Kenyan Obama, and he started going in and discussing the aspect at the beginning of the 2010 about how people need to be able to use whatever bathroom they wanted. I remember saying when I saw it, I said, this is going to end badly if we accept this. This is not going to go well. And sure enough, look at us, you know, 10, 12 years later, where it's at. If you look at that survey graph, what's interesting about that, Doug, it went from 4.5% for the generation before me. Then my generation, millennials, went to 10% and then doubled again for Gen Z, which is 20%. If that graph is a factual correlation of actual statistical growth, that means the next generation is going to be roughly 40% are going to identify with that, meaning almost half the population is going to be in some form of category identifying as the LGBTQRSTUZ Toys R Us narrative. And this is what's disturbing about this, Doug. This isn't a natural growth. This is a continual manipulated growth, because I remember as a kid in the 90s, if I ever heard something about basically a homosexual incident or something like that, it was already kind of like, okay, it's a big deal. Why'd this get brought up? Now, as you see with Disney, they're blatantly making sure they have so many queer homosexual training characters in their films. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to step on a lot of toes. I've told you before why I don't accept Disney. I've told you before why I don't support Disney. If you still currently keep renewing your passes, I get it. If you've already paid for them in advance and they're there now, you can't get your money back and you basically have gone a few more times. But if you still are renewing your passes and you're paying all this money, money's fungible. You may say, hey, I'm just going to go and ride a couple of the rides. If you're still paying for passes, you're still buying turkey legs and you're still buying food, you're supporting a company that is directly involved in probably one of the largest production companies in the country on grooming your children and making sure that they are exposed. And not only exposed, they're extremely indoctrinated to this type of behavior. Disney is not what it used to be. The old days of Swiss Family Robinson films, those don't exist anymore with Disney. That world is long gone. And so I encourage my patriots and my friends, it may be one time you do it or you don't go, it's not going to make a huge difference financially, but I'll tell you what, they start having 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200,000, 400, 500,000, a million people in the country stop buying their passes and start supporting other businesses that, you know, and it's just what I told somebody before. They said, well, what about, you know, you've gone to Busch Gardens before, you know, in Busch Gardens, you know, Busch beer and Anheuser-Busch and all that, you know, what they got stuff in their past. And I said, you're absolutely right. I really don't go there much. I said, I've gone there in probably last year. I said, but on the other hand too, I said, Busch Gardens isn't making openly gay character films directly targeted towards my age children and specifically telling me that they're good films. There's a real difference between a company that may have a few skeletons in their closet or something that's in their past, again, like I said, in their private or their past sector, and some company that is directly telling you right now, we are targeting your children with homosexual and transgender ideology because they need to be exposed to it because it's our not so quiet gay agenda, not so secret gay agenda is what she said, to quote her exactly. So again, I encourage people, wake up and realize what's happening here. As a parent, you're responsible for your child, especially when they are under your house, they're young, especially single digits. You're responsible what they're exposed to. You're responsible what they know, their ethics, their morals, their biblical teachings. Is this something that you're going to be okay with later on? Or are you going to look back and say, man, I should have been more proactive. I shouldn't have been encouraging this type of behavior, or not alone, just allowing it to go on and not saying anything about it. I'm not telling you to belittle your children or make them feel weird. A child has to figure out their own identity and who they are. I fully understand that from a psych standpoint. But turning around and pushing perversion and pedophilia behavior, cross-dressing behavior, and pushing it out there in the norm and encouraging it and saying, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. If you feel like doing it, it's okay. It's not okay. It's abnormal behavior. And if a child has a problem with it, then you need to address it and look at it. And don't obviously sit there and try to beat their self-esteem down. So, you know, you're a sick little pervert, you five-year-old. I can't believe you want to do that. No, it's not a way to handle it. If you need help with it, there's numerous Christian books and Christian ways to handle it from a biblical standpoint without, you know, just beating down a child's self-esteem. Because I get it. there's a fine line between a child's self-esteem and finding their identity and figuring out who they are and kind of letting them do it on their own. But that's the whole point of what I just said, right? Letting them do it on their own and develop it naturally, not sitting there putting perversion in their face and calling it normal, like these books they have in school that they're trying to force them to read, or these transgender story hours, or these films. I encourage my friends, your health is your personal responsibility. Your children's health is also their personal responsibility, not just their body, but their mental health as well. You've got to take care of them from a physical standpoint and making sure they're staying strong, they're keeping their immune system strong, they're not being compromised by excessive amounts of sugar or drugs or vaccines. Do your own research on that. And it's also important you keep their mental health good and you get them and keep them in church, or at least keep them in biblical teachings. This is a fight for the last generation of this country. Quote me on that. I promise Amen. You, this is not a joke. This is where we're at right Amen. Now, Doug, and it's so important.
And I have to say, I can't believe how quickly, when you come on, time flies. Folks, we're out of time for this broadcast, but I'm going to tell you something. You like what you heard, the truth bombs that you heard? Go to healthmasters.com. While you are shopping there, listen to the Ted Nassenbrower Show. That's critical. It is absolutely important if you want to be informed, but if you want to be healthy, healthmasters.com. Austin, God bless you, my friend. And I do hope you have a great weekend. And I hope you have, I wish you the best. We're in this fight, you and I and the listeners and viewers are in this fight all together. I appreciate you. All right.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Take care of yourself. All right, folks, that'll do it for me tonight. God bless you. Patreon meeting this weekend, I believe. Am I right? Yes, Patreon meeting 7 p.m. Sunday. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Good night.